Good morning. Shalom. It's good to be here and good to see you all. This morning, I would like to share something from the book of Acts, and it's the experience that I was in Athens, in Greece, because in these few years, because in the past year, because of the war in Israel, so it's difficult to travel to the Holy Land. So some churches, they want me to bring them to understand another route for the biblical studies is to the Greece and Turkey to know about Paul's missionary journey and the seven churches of Revelation. So this is actually a message that I share when I was in Greece last year to a group of brothers and sisters in Athens. So I put the topic like Paul was provoked in Acts chapter 17. That's what we read this morning. So from here, we can know that what would be your response of being provoked in your life? As we grow up, probably you're a child or teenager or an adult, you are being provoked, like to be rushed in life. Maybe to school, and then when you grow up, maybe to work. And this morning, I drove from Brooklyn, New York, to come to New Jersey. Actually, I enjoyed the driving when I came to this area, because the people seems very relaxed, I mean, compared to New York City. And because I can give an example, because when I was in driving in New York, before the light turned green, and the car behind me will press the horn to ask me to move. And then I was thinking, what was going on? Because the light is still in red, and it's not supposed to move. But it's quite strange in New York. The people are so rushed, and they are provoked to different things. Maybe they have their different tasks in their life. But when I come to New Jersey, and also twice per year, like every semester, I would travel to Los Angeles in California. It's also very relaxing when I drive. Sometimes when I forgot to move, even the light turned green, and the car behind me, they won't do anything because I was searching for direction. I was not used to find a location in Los Angeles, and the people just relax and not pushing. So it's very different. But in here, we can think about what a person that they are being provoked and what will be the response to the situation. I share another example. My father served in the HOA. He is in Hong Kong. He served in the HOA for many years. He shared a phenomenon that the building, they need to put lots of money to repair the close button of the elevator, because when the people there are waiting for the door to close, they would just keep pressing. And when I first moved to New York City, I also live in a condo, in a tall building, like seven floors. And then it's the same situation. The HOA always put a notice that to remind the residents that you don't need to be hurried. The door will close within 5 seconds. But the people will still press the close button to make it rush and to try to make the situation faster. And during the COVID, the situation is even worse, because the people that they are scared to use their finger to press the button, they will bring the key to press the close button, and then the button would be broken. And then it took a long time to order a new button because of the problem of the supply chain. And they need to order a specific button from the specific elevator company. You know, it cannot be replaced by other company. So it took like a few months to order and to fix it. So it's the situation that the people will respond to the situation when they're being provoked to be rushed to different things. So maybe you are being provoked to the fluctuation of the stock market, because I was in the finance field when I was in Hong Kong. So I worked a few years in the business. And maybe you respond to the situation of the food in the buffet. For example, when I grew up, and even nowadays, when I bring my kids to buffet, I saw the people, they would be rushed in a certain, for a certain dishes when the food came out. Normally, it's the lobster or the crab legs, and then the people will be rushed to provoke to try to get their food as soon as possible. Otherwise, the food will be gone. So these are the situation and the phenomenon and the responses that people, that they will respond to the situation, that they will be provoked. So I want to try to meditate and try to read how Paul responds to the situation and what make him to be provoked and what were the things that provoke him and then his response to the situation, and try to meditate through the scripture in the book of Acts chapter 17 verses 16 to 34. And this is actually the place that I brought the group to meditate last year in Athens. Now it's still a very famous tourist area, that one of the very big temple at that time, and it's still preserved. And in Athens, in the Greek culture, when you try to buy a souvenir, it's lots of souvenirs they were made of different idols, because there's so many goddesses. Even nowadays, the people, they would worship and they would honor those goddesses. When you watch cartoons or watch some movies, you know the Greek culture, they have lots of goddesses to worship, lots of those idols to worship. And that's the same thing in the first century, 2,000 years ago. Because at that time, Paul, he went to Athens for a missionary journey, and it's mainly to the Gentiles. And then when he faced the Greeks in Athens, he tried to contextualize his message in this section of scriptures that we read this morning. He tried to explain this true God and then uphold the message of the uniqueness of Christ, of the resurrection. And then we'll read in this passage. And the Greeks, they heard about this message, the resurrection of the dead. This is something out of their mind, because in the Greek culture, in the Hellenistic culture, there's no such thing. In the goddess that they worship, there's no resurrection. So when Paul preach about this message, the people, they respond different ways. And some people, they mock Paul that this is something nonsense, because they could not believe and they could not accept this new message. In the Greek philosophy, they explain after death, and then the soul will be separated from the body and then travel to an underworld ruled by the god Hades. There's no resurrection in the culture, though they could not accept this idea. But in this passage, we try to see Acts chapter 7, 16, and then we can see from here, while Paul was waiting at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. The situation nowadays is the same. It's full of idols, full of temples. Although nowadays some of the temples, they are broken. But some are still preserved. That the Greek culture, they worship different kinds of idols. And then Paul was so urgent. His urgency was on those people that they don't understand what they are worshiping. And then he responded with preaching in the synagogue and also in the marketplace. He tried to find a place with lots of people and to explain to them, this is the real message, the real gospel. And then, you know, in Greek culture, besides lots of idols, there's also another thing, is the lots of philosophers. Last year when I went to Greece, I bought a small booklet to explain all different kinds of famous philosophers that's from Greece. And I bought this as a souvenir for my kids, because when they study in high school, those philosophy in science, in mathematics, actually those philosophers are all from Greece. And then when Paul at that time, he faced two schools of thoughts. They are the two types of philosophers in verse 18. Some of the Epicurean and some of the Stoic. And these are the two things that nowadays is even happen, because the Epicurean is that they promote a message that life is a pursuit of pleasure. So you can think about, like, in American culture in the year of 1970s, that was the concept of hippies. That's a similar from this school of thoughts. If you don't know the term hippies, you can ask Pastor John after the service. He'll explain it to you. And this is something that you come back again after 2,000 years, that the people still follow the school of thought from the Greek. And then the other extreme is the Stoic school, Stoic philosophers, that they pursue of perseverance. They try to sustain and suffer. They think life is a meaning of suffering. When you suffer, you will find a meaning of life. And try to overcome your negative emotions. Don't lose your heart. Just try to persevere to do things. And then there's two extremes that they try to argue different ways. And Paul used the Bible to explain to them the gospel message and try to dialogue with those people to explain the gospel, that it can be better of this, overcome these two Greek philosophies. And then in the verse 18 to 19, some said, what does this babbler wish to say? Because they were trying to dialogue with Paul. What is Paul trying to say of this gospel? Others said, he seems to be a preacher of foreign divinities. So here's something, Paul was preaching some other gods, other than the goddess that Greek was worshipping. Because Paul was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting. And verse 19, this is a place that in the Greece that they would bring the people to a hilltop where the philosophers will debate or the city officials will hold trials. And this is the place that I went there. This is the place of verse 19, Areopagus. And that's the place that the remains that the people at that time in 2,000 years ago, that they would debate of the philosophies and also they would make judgment of the trials. So you can think this is like the court nowadays in the legal battles, legal debates, and that will happen in this place in verse 19. And then in verse 20, and this keeps going, that they said, Paul responded to this message and addressed to the people in this trial. He said, I know you are religious because you worship so many different kinds of gods. But I want to say that I saw an altar with an inscription called to the unknown God. This is very strange because they would worship something that they don't know. They try to create an idol, create a temple, create something that they don't know, or maybe they have not met some kind of goddess in the Greek culture, and then they create a place to worship something called the unknown God. So Paul was being provoked because of this situation. And then Paul explained to them in 24 to 28, the God who made the world and everything in it, he is the God of heaven and earth. And he does not live in temples made by man. He is the real God. He does not live inside a temple, or he is not a statue that man made for the people to worship. And then he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined that this boundary is the dwelling place, and then to help the people to seek God and to find the ways toward him. And try to explain to them, we are all God's offspring, and then we can come to believe in him and to trust in him. And then in later, in 29 to 31, he has a message to call the people to repent. Call them. This is the time for you to accept this message. Because the times of ignorance got overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. This is the time, verse 30 and 31, because he has fixed a day of the judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. So a judgment is coming. The judgment day is coming very soon. At that time, Paul asked the people to repent. This is the time that we need to think about this message. As nowadays we see all over the world, because of the climate change, because of the two wars that are still going on in the world, because of the crimes, because of the selfishness of the people, the judgment day is coming. And we need to repent, and also we need to share this message to our friends, families, and our neighbors, that we need to call them for repent to this real God. And to accept Jesus, because he is the real person to help us, and God asked him, raise him from the dead. This is the message of resurrection. And he is the not just one of the Greek gods, he is the real one, the real Messiah, the real Savior, that is the one, the unique one, that is override all those Greek gods at that time. But when Paul preached this message, the people in Greece, they don't understand and they don't accept, because there's no resurrection concept in their mind. There's no such a hope in the Greek's philosophy. So there's a mixed response. Of course, we can know some are reject, some would accept, some are in the middle. They said they want to learn more. This is the response from the Gospel of Luke and also all the way through the book of Acts. It's positive, it's accept. Negative is reject or mock Paul. And then somewhere in the middle, they want to take some time to learn more. And actually, these are the responses when we share the message to our friends, to our unbelieving neighbors and families, that these are the responses, same thing. Accept, reject, or like you can say, it's pending. They want to learn more. They want to think through it. And this is how we need to keep going and to be persistent, to keep going to share the message to all the people. I just visited Hong Kong and in the Easter holiday, this late March. And then this visit is I share in a few messages in different churches and organizations. And also the other thing is important is I attend the baptism ceremony of my parents. And I came to faith after 30 years, and I shared the gospel to them many, many times. And then after 30 years now, they came to faith in Jesus, and also they accept the Lord, and then they apply for baptism. And it's great. It's such a very touching moment that I could see my parents that they baptized in Hong Kong. And also because of their health, especially my father, he went through a heart surgery, and now he's recovering. So pray that they can experience God's love more, and also to grow spiritually in the church, in the Lord. So these are the mixed response even I encounter with my parents, with my other family members. I still have a younger brother. He accepted Jesus when he was young, but now he left the church. And I hope he and his family, he has a daughter, that they can also come to the church again. So these are the mixed response when we share to different people, that they will reject us, or they will take some time to learn, to think for it, or maybe in God's timing, that God would bring them, God would change their heart, God would change their things, and then they would repent, and they believe in the gospel. So different people, we have different stages, and different timelines for different people. But for our job, we just try to keep our faithfulness to share the message to different people. So Paul was being provoked in Athens, in Greece, and because he saw lots of idols, he saw the philosophers that they keep thinking that they don't have solution in their life. Even nowadays in Greece, as you know, a few years ago, the government of Greece was going bankrupt because of some economic crisis. And then the tour guide that told us sometimes they said that the people just think too much and then they don't do. So the economy is not good because the people, they're just enjoying drinking coffee, debating politics, discussing about different things of life, but they don't do the job, they don't work. So that's why the people are getting to another extreme, that they just think, discuss, but they don't put it into practice. So the economy is not that good, and they really hope to have more tourists, but we don't know. So this is something that Greece nowadays. But for other countries, that other situations, I hope this we will be provoked, like Paul in Athens in the first century. There's some other situation we can know. For example, here in India in 2024, actually it is this year, the beginning of this in January, in India, there's a famous place called Ganges River. The people in India, they believe that's the holy water. So there's a lady, she has a child, and then the child got cancer. So the lady bought this boy, I think he's 7 years old. He bought this boy to immerse in the water of the Ganges water, Ganges River. He tried to use this kind of holy water to heal this boy. And of course it didn't work. And then she tried to keep immersing him to a longer and longer time, even put his head into the water. And then some of the people, when they were looking around and see the situation, they were so depressed and trying to disturb by the situation and try to stop the situation. But the lady said, it's good for the boy. And then later, all the people tried to rescue the boy from the water. But later, when the boy was brought to the hospital, the boy passed away. So this is the situation of Hinduism. Nowadays, people are being deceived in different religious thoughts. In Hinduism, they believe in the Ganges River. In Hinduism, if you know, in the Hindu temple, they also have lots and lots of idols that they would worship in Hinduism, because they believe everything is God. So they create different kinds of idols to worship. But these are all deceiving the people, that they could not find the real God, the Lord Jesus. And besides Hinduism, this is Islam. You know, in Islam, in their life, they really need to go to Hajj, to Mecca, as a pilgrimage, to Mecca to worship this black stone. So every year the people would go to Saudi Arabia to worship the black stone, and they would keep walking around circle to try to get the power or to try to worship Allah. But in 2015, over 2,000 people died in this trip to the pilgrimage to Mecca, because you can imagine if one person just fell down and then the other people would keep fell down and then collapse, and then it's just you could not stop it and you could not save the situation, and then many people died and injured. And it just not happened in 2015, because in the past 20 years there are over 10 accidents happened, and each time there's over a few hundred people died in this kind of Muslim pilgrimage. And I know some Muslim friends, you know, I know some Arabs and even Palestinians. For some of them, they also went to Mecca for this kind of trip of pilgrimage. And after this trip, they would take a picture and then they would put in front of their house to show to the neighbors that he has finished the trip to Mecca, to this pilgrimage. And then he would feel himself as like a higher status of Muslims among his neighborhood. Yeah, it's more like an elite in the Islam. It's a second level after finishing the pilgrimage. So this kind of things still make the people like a blindfolded, that they could not see the real God, they could not see Jesus, they could not understand the love of God, and everything is created by God. They don't understand. And also my experience among the Jewish people in Israel is also another thing, because Jewish people, many people, they are still believe in Judaism. They observe the law. They follow the Sabbath. I remember when I lived in Jerusalem, it's a building with two apartments in each floor. And then my next door neighbor, they are elderly couple. They are both retired in their mid-70s. And in one of the evening, it's a Friday night, like 11 p.m., suddenly this old man, he knocked on my door. He asked for my help. But because of Sabbath, he couldn't ask. He just pulled me to his apartment. And then I was feeling strange because normally on Sabbath, they are very quiet. They didn't do anything. And because Sabbath is not allowed in Judaism to do anything. It's against the Jewish law. And then he pulled me to his apartment. And then I felt so cold because it was a winter time. I knew something happened. So he dragged me inside to his apartment. And then he opened his fuse box. And then I saw it. The fuse, there's some problem because I need to help them to switch it on again so that he can resume the electricity, resume the lights, and also the heater so that they would have the heat again. And then I helped them to switch it on the button, and then the light came back, and then the heater warm up the apartment again. And then they were so happy, and they say thank you to me over 10 times. And then during the weekdays after the Sabbath, they bought a large box of chocolate for my kids. They appreciate very much that we saved their life because it's so cold during winter in Jerusalem. And because of their belief in Judaism, they could not do this because it's against the law. When you drive the car, when you turn on the light, when you turn on this fuse box, or even you use the computer, you use television, you use a cell phone, is all against the Sabbath regulation in Judaism. So these are some of the things that we need to help, and we need to share the gospel to help the Jewish people. So nowadays, it's a pluralistic world, and we know there are different ethnic groups around us. And maybe in your school, maybe in your job, you'll face different people, Jewish friends or Muslim friends, or Indian friends. We try to use different ways to communicate the gospel to them. But the first thing is we need to have this kind of urgency to share the gospel to different people. The urgency is to provoke us and then to respond appropriately like Paul in Athens. And then we can learn from Paul because he shared the gospel in different contexts. When he came to Athens, because it's a Greek culture full of idols, and then you can read through the message again, he tailor-made this message to help the people in Greece understand. Later, when he shifted to another city, to Corinth, or maybe to shift to other audience, the Jewish audience, he would have designed the message a little bit different to try to help the people in different contexts understand. But when he tried to contextualize the message, there are two things that's very important. The first is he would affirm God as the creator and the judge of the world. This is the very important thing. It's like the bottom line is non-negotiable, the core values of the gospel. And the second thing is to uphold the gospel message of a resurrected Christ. This is the most important. God sent his son Jesus to die for us and also resurrected after 3 days. The message of resurrection is full of hope, full of peace, and also to help the people to have a new life in Jesus, in the Lord. So I hope the urgency of Paul, and Paul was being provoked in Athens, this is the message that can remind us to have this urgency for the gospel and for the people around us, and also people around the world. We pray and hope that these people, one day, they would hear the gospel, and then they would also come to faith in the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the time that we can gather together. It's nowadays, it's the end time that we need to have this urgency to know Jesus would come back very soon. And we learn from Paul in Athens, how he responds to the situation that the city of Athens is full of idols, and then he was provoked. Oh Lord, may you help us. When we saw the news, when we saw the situation, we also need to be provoked, but to a different direction, that we have this urgency to share the gospel. We are not being provoked like the secular people because of money, because of politics, because of different issues in life, but we need to have a focus that the world, the people, that they are lost. They don't have gospel, they don't have Jesus, and the world, they need you. Oh Lord, may you help us as a church to be a witness, to be a light and salt of the world, to shine for you, to shine the gospel message for you, Lord. Help us all. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Messiah.